Welcome to the Memoirs of Her. This is your host, Sandera Mondays, on the Memoirs of Her. H standing for humble, E standing for exquisite, and R standing for resilience. Please be advised this is a podcasting session coming to you with an adventurous and humorous life journey of a mysterious woman, including her accounts and life. So tonight's topic is going to be about how to reparent your inner child. And no, tonight will not be a monologue session, so I just wanted to bring that to the forefront. However, I think this is an interesting and important topic that's essential to our growth as adults or even as a child, and even, you know, parent-to-child dynamic and being able to raise our children and being aware of certain traumas that children could just experience as a whole. So even as we understand ourselves as adults and as the children who we were growing up, I think it's plays an integral part in how we will raise our children to be better than who we are, or to be healed from an aspect of where we able to show our children love where we may not have been shown love or things of that sort. So I just think that having the opportunity to reparent your inner child is amazing, and it takes a lot of courage and I would say authenticity, as far as being able to have that strength to revisit your past and, you know, whether it's past memories, experiences, and things of that sort. You know, those things are important, and a lot of times, you know, whatever we experience that's unfortunate, we hold on to it, but we hold on to it as a souvenir that affects us in our adult life. So it's a wonderful feeling when having the ability and strength to face our past with purpose and various intentions to either overcome, let go in peace, or both in the process of becoming a better healed person. So the past is just as important as our present and as valuable as our future. I understand most people might say time is just an illusion. However, the emotional scars and wounds people hold on to throughout their years can be detrimental to their own growth and stability. Based on how a person perceives and assesses certain beliefs and behaviors in their lives can be either a direct or indirect hindrance to their future. For instance, a 12-year-old boy just experienced an emotional attack on his self-esteem and had no one around to bring comfort or explain the effects of the attack, emotional attack on his self-esteem, and had no one around to validate his emotions, in which can then turn into a behavior in him as far as doubting himself and not living out his fullest potential because of feeling insignificant or having troubling thoughts on what others may perceive him to be from who he is as a person. So this may not only just be geared towards sexes as far as a boy. A girl can also experience this as well. So to think this pattern of self-doubt and self-sabotage plays into his adult life from a boy into a man, he may find himself overcompensating for who he is as a person and who the world portray him to be, or simply for the inadequacies he feels as a man that has never been validated or nurtured as a part of his development as a boy into becoming a man. Therefore, the lack of parental support experience as a child may have been hidden in certain behaviors, lack of mannerism, and false beliefs developed as a child, in which, you know, he may have been conclusive according to his premature mindset when processing either in any unfortunate experiences and events in his life per se. And this could just be any child life. So I wanted to highlight something as well when it comes down to healing your inner child. According to Sue Mahoney's article, healing your inner child or children is all about being a secure adult attachment figure for yourself. Providing your inner children with safety, support, tenderness, kindness, and the other qualities they need to thrive and flourish. Bearing these target qualities in mind, orienting yourself towards developing them more strongly helps enormously as far as going about the healing process. So I wanted to share that and highlight that as far as when coming down to healing your inner child, it could be at various stages in which I will explain later in the show. So self-discovery, self-love, care, and self-empowerment are all factors that can be a breakthrough in overcoming our past in peace, making right the wrongs in our life by being able to reparent ourselves and graduate into different stages in life and that's fulfilling and therapeutic to the development of our emotional and mental health. So healing emotional wounds take courage, once again, and strength to face the past, save that inner child at various stages throughout the development of one's life and journey. So, therefore, join me tonight on the Memoirs of Her and listen to the podcast topic on how to reparent your inner child and be successful at becoming a greater person. So without further ado, I'm going to get right into the topic in itself. But before I begin, we have to know what are the signs. What are the signs as far as being able to acknowledge those childhood wounds? And I want to be able to share, according to Sue Mahoney, the list of signs you need to heal your inner child. So I'm going to go through this list. And if you feel that it's something that you resonate with or something that you realize is an issue with you, then you may need inner childhood healing, you know? So, the first thing I wanted to talk about is how can you identify the signs of childhood wounds and need of healing? So, the first thing is reoccurring self-sabotaging patterns to where, as, you know, you may cause yourself to, you know, be in a situation to whereas, let's say you in a group session and the whole group decided to go forth and doing something, but here it is, you on the other hand, you bail out and you chose not to participate or do anything because of whatever reason it being. And as a result, what happens is that you not only self-sabotage the group, but you self-sabotage yourself because this is a group project and it's going to help everyone, not just yourself. So if it's a pattern to where it can also be in relationships, whereas you may not have the ability to be close, or maybe you may form close attachments to people and then back off and not have as much attachment to the person. And therefore, you might do things in a relationship to make it not be as productive or jeopardize a romantic relationship because of certain behaviorism and beliefs that you may have as a person. So those are examples of reoccurring self-sabotaging patterns that you may recognize in your own life. And then unhealthy habits you can't kick, such as let's say you like to gossip a lot and it's just something that you like to do. You can't kick it because, you know, it's a childhood wound that you have to wear as you want to appear like you're perfect. So appearing like you're perfect, you have to put everybody else down or have to get into everybody else's business in order for you to feel good about yourself. So this, I'm just using as an example, is an unhealthy habit that may not be able to be kicked because, you know, this person may like to gossip a lot and cause chaos and confusion and then come out trying to look like the good person. You know, that's a bad habit. And then, like I said, it has a lot to do with your inner child, you know, growing up. You know, whereas you may have wanted the approval of your parents, you wanted the acknowledgement, and you probably was an attention seeker, and it just rolled into your adult life. So this is just me giving examples to the signs that are needed for childhood healing. Okay, chronic inner critic, where you always saying, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't. You know, oh, I'm not good enough, or I'm not good looking enough. You know, those are critical negative self-talk that's chronic, that's not going to build up your self-esteem. That's also an indication that you need to inner childhood healing, okay? Finding it impossible to ask for help. Disproportionate anger issues, to whereas someone may have made someone made you angry. You know, instead of you dealing with the situation accordingly, you may go home and take it out on loved ones because of feeling angry. So this is called disproportionate anger issues, okay? Negative behavior against yourself, feeling of numbness, apathy, depression with no apparent cause, chronic anxiety, struggles with self-care, treating other people badly, unable to connect properly with other people, not understanding yourself or how or why you do things, and the persistent feeling there's something wrong with you, difficulties parenting your children, lack of emotional regulation, which consists of bottling things up for days, then exploding at the tiniest thing that may happen, not actually an incident, but bloody well feels like it's a thing or something so. Frequent relationship difficulties, known traumatic experiences in your childhood, such as adoption, witnessing or being subjected to parental violence, emotional neglect, and lastly, two frequent occasions when you behave like a total two-year-old or teenager or anywhere in between in ways that cause you and or the people around you pain. Okay, so that's something that's very, very, very significant. Such as, like, say for example, if everyone is in a circle and you're having a conversation and all of a sudden, let's say this is an attention seeker, and all of a sudden this person has an outburst and acts like a total two-year-old, like can't behave, don't have no emotional intelligence, don't have no emotional control, but they are an adult, you know, it can be embarrassing not only to the person, but to the people who are in conversation with the person themselves. So this is what that statement means. And that can also go back to that person being able to heal their inner child. Okay, so now that I talked about how you can identify the signs of childhood wounds and need of healing, now I want to talk about what are the requirements and objectives to reparenting yourself. So, one of those factors would be to decide on the type of parent you need to be in order to reparent, heal, and nurture your inner child. Second is to search for your inner child within you and confront them with care and support. Number three is to establish contact and comfort by reassuring your inner child they're safe and secure. Number four, learn to recognize the emotional cues and triggers of your inner child through communication, which is healthy self-talk and not self-critic, and an observation of your emotional and mental health as an adult. Number five, build on trust with your inner child through consistent actions and resolve to bring healing and closure to that inner childhood wounds. And number six, discover what your inner child needs are and recognize the false beliefs that affected their self-esteem while growing up. Provide, parent, and progress on your journey to supporting your inner child. Okay, so, woohoo! Those are the steps to reparenting yourself, and I'm going to elaborate on each detail. So I want you guys to focus on the eight key factors, which is decide on the type of parent you would like to be, search for your inner child within you, establish content and comfort with your inner child. Learn to recognize the emotional cues and triggers of your inner child. Build on trust with your inner child. And discover what your inner child needs are and recognize the false beliefs into one. And then lastly, provide, parent, and progress on your journey. Okay, so this is what I'm going to break down into the show on tonight. Okay, so before I even begin, I wanted to talk about what are the types of parenting styles. This is helpful to recognizing the type of parental style administered to you as a child by your parent or legal guardian, or recognizing it. It's helpful because there's four types. There's the authoritarian, the authoritative, the permissive, the unloved, and neglectful. Okay? So you may have experienced the either unloved and neglectful parent, or the authoritarian parent who's high on discipline but short on love. You know, and authoritarian, I'm sorry. There's a balance between love and discipline. And authoritative is the one who's on high on love and really low on, you know, affection and things of that sort. But I'm going to break it down, okay? It's a chart that I have that talks about the four parenting styles. Okay, permissive. The permissive type of parent is the type of person who's more responsive, okay? And then this is permissive and neglectful, they're responsive. And then authoritative and authoritarian is more of a demanding trait. They are the real parents. So the ones who are permissive and neglectful are not really the real parents in the children's lives, you know, which can be a little tricky. So a permissive parent is a child-driven, rarely gives and enforces rules, overindulges a child to avoid conflict. Okay, so this is a permissive parent. Okay, neglectful parent is uninvolved or absent, provides little nurturance or guidance, indifferent to child's social, emotional, and behavioral needs. So once again, that's the responsiveness and the lack of parental care and concern and nurturement for a child. Now, authoritative, on the other hand, authoritative is more demanding, okay? They solve problems together with the child, set clear rules and expectations, open communication and natural consequences. That's the authoritative parent, okay, where there's balance. Okay, now the authoritarian, okay, so I had a little bit mixed up. The authoritarian parent is parent driven. You know, they set strict rules and punishment, one-way communication with little consideration of child's social, emotional, and behavioral needs. So it's almost, it's my way or the highway. They don't really care too much about how their children feel or what they feel. It's just, if I told your ass to sit your ass down, that's it. I don't care about if you have to use the bathroom or not. Sit your ass down. Just giving a prime example. That's an authoritarian parent, you know. So it's not really giving that child the chance to say, I got to use the restroom, you know. So I'm just giving a hypothetical, okay. That could be an authoritarian parent where they don't allow their children to express their emotions, to whereas a permissive parent may allow the child to rule and run them, you know, telling them what they should do and what they shouldn't do. And it's like you kind of get confused who's the parent, who's the child, you know. So the only factor here that's more of the extreme is that you have the neglectful parent and then you have the authoritative parent. The authoritative parent is more active, while the neglectful parent is more inactive. So it's one spectrum to the other. And the permissive and authoritarian parent, they are on one spectrum of another as well, because it's one who allows the children to do certain things, you know, and, you know, let them be an emotional wreck. And then the authoritarian parent don't play that. They don't play that at all. Okay? So that's the whole dynamic of parenting styles. Now, you on the other hand, it may be a little different as far as when it comes down to going about that inner childhood healing. This was only for you to assess what type of parenting style that you may have experienced as a child, so that way you can decide what you don't want to do be as far as reparenting yourself, okay? So, now that I've talked about the types of parenting styles, I want to talk about each factor that I talked about as far as the requirements and objectives to reparenting yourself. So, it is a requirement to decide on the type of parent you need to be. It's very imperative, okay? You can decide to be the reliable, loving, and caring parent that you may have always desired to be for that inner child, a nurturing and supportive parent to the inner child, emotional and mental health, if you want to be that type of parent, nurturing and supportive, or the coaching and motivational parent to where you just need that encouragement. You know, you was well taken care of as a child. You know, you never really experienced any, you know, unfortunate situations or anything of that sort. But it's just that sometimes you just needed that push, that coaching from a parent, you know. And then, you know, on the other spectrum, you may have those children that may have been hurt, you know, may have been abused, you know, however way, sexual, physical, you know, and may experience that hurt and it's become a scar into their adult life. And sometimes you might decide that, okay, I may need to be a healer and a therapeutic parent to myself. You know, you got to be able to nurse yourself back to life as an adult and be able to heal that inner child where they are hurting and bruised, okay? So just as they say, for example, in this article that I read, it says, when you don't receive care, attention, and kindness from the adults and older children around you, you're left with the painful experience and you don't get to see, hear, feel, and thereby learn how to handle painful experiences. So these are considered emotional bumps and bruises that, you know, people may experience throughout their life, you know. So in retrospect of being able to heal yourself and go through that therapeutics process, you might, you know, get therapy and you might go through the different stages and activity to, you know, go about that healing process, okay? So that's what I mean as far as deciding on the type of parent you need to be, okay? Then the next factor that is a requirement is to search for that inner child within you, okay? You have to search for it, okay? As I said from the top and the beginning of the show, that inner child could be at various stages in your life because you experience different encounters and different, you know, mistreatment or, you know, events that may have taken place in your, misfortunate events that may have taken place in your life that you may not have gotten a chance to fully understand it and incorporate as, you know, something productive in your life, okay? So, first, you have to understand at various ages growing up, you could have accumulated wounds and beliefs by the mistreatment and development you received as a child. Therefore, you may have to address each part of you at different stages of your biological development, okay? And then, another factor that you can do is start going on this quest of mindful thinking and meditation, okay? It is a source to establish a self-discovery as a child or young adult, and you just as a person, you get to learn things about yourself. So some of those things can be implemented through not just doing meditation as in the lotus pose and things of that sort, and you know, it's a technique that most people can use as far as relaxing their mind, but meditation can also be through journal writing and being able to share, you know, certain moments alone by yourself and just being your own thoughts. That is an aspect or degree of meditation in itself. So mindful thinking is that, you know, you're taking the steps to go back to relive your past and being able to meditate on a factor of how you're going to be able to move forward and be productive in each aspect of your life as an adult moving forward, okay? And then when you make contact, observe your inner child's emotional well-being. You know, so for example, you might want to ask your inner child when you recognize it, like, you know, and you see that, okay, this is the part of me that has always been a part of me, but I need to ask my inner child these imperative questions, such as, hold on, okay, so the question that you might want to ask is, are they shouty, whispery, irritated, whiny, relaxed, uptight? You know, getting to know your inner voice and how old do they seem to be? So those things are important. And when you go on that quest, to go about that inner childhood, you know, healing, you want to do it with skill and in terms of internal observation, which is interception and self-observation, and you getting to know your inner child part of yourself, okay? So this takes a skill. This has nothing to do with anyone who may, you know, have a mental disorder or disability. This is someone who is, you know, conscious and aware of, you know, and have control of how they can tailor and maneuver their life and have the ability, you know, all their mental faculty to be able to go on this quest and participate in this activity, okay? So this is not to diagnose anyone with a mental illness or a disability or things of that sort. This is just a activity that you can do on your own terms, but this is something that's supposed to be helpful and a good technique to go on as far as being able to live your life productive and go about healing that inner child, okay? And the next factor is to establish contact and comfort. So the way you establish contact and comfort is to cultivate some flexibility in how you approach your inner child, okay? Introduce your adult self to your inner child. Imagine how your inner child would respond and build a trusting bond the younger version of yourself could establish with your adult self, okay? So that's how you establish contact and comfort, because you're bringing that part of yourself at ease and you're getting to know yourself from when you were younger all the way up into your adult life, okay? And some of those aspects may take a therapy session as far as being able to participate in certain activities to such as working with a therapist. You might be guided through inner child work in a variety of ways, such as reflection practices, visualizations, dialogue, two-person journaling, and there are lots of tools in the therapy repertoire. Okay, so that's something that can be a part of you establishing contact and comfort with that inner child. Okay, and then another factor is learn to recognize the emotional cues and triggers. Okay, so that consists of evaluating the emotions of your inner child, as I mentioned before. Understand the misappropriation of emotions as an adult due to childhood wounds. And that could be because if you always felt like, you know, you would never amount to anything, and then you just have this negative self-talk that, oh, you can't do this, you ain't good enough, and you always have that is self-destructive to your self-esteem and as a person. So this would be a misappropriation of emotions because it's a false belief that you chose to hold on to. Okay, and then find ways to reparent and teach your inner child how to deal with emotions and separate from your experiences in the past. Okay, and then integrate certain triggers with emotional outbursts or past traumas as a child into an adult, and carefully analyze where the root of the problem of your emotions or false beliefs stem from. Okay, because when people act out, even in their adult life, and they just do things just because, 9 times out of 10, it has something to do with how they handled a situation or formed a belief in their childhood or teenage life. And this is a belief that they carry on into their adult life, which is detrimental to their progress in life detrimental to their productivity and how they interact with other people. Okay? So you want to be able to carefully analyze your wrongs, you know, and be able to right those wrongs by healing your inner childhood wound. Okay? Another factor is to build on trust with your inner child. And what that consists of is, at whatever age your inner children are, it could be your body work, intuitive energy work are also good options for contacting and communicating with these parts of yourself and releasing the emotions they are holding on to. So this is something that I've read in an article, which was from Sue Mahani. And it was another article that I came across, which was how to reparent your child. And the chart that I had talked about previously was from a psychologist and how they share the four styles of parenting styles and the type of researches they say that most are successful. So I did get this, you know, through articles and doing my research. So I just wanted to highlight that for my listeners, okay? And I also like to give credit where credit is due. Okay, so as I mentioned before, is when it comes down to the age of your inner child, it's at whatever age your inner children are, and the body work and intuitive energy work, which is a good option for contacting and communicating with, you know, the various parts of yourself and releasing the emotions and that they're holding on to. It could be false beliefs. It could be past experiences, you know, of various things. So when you recognize those emotional cues and triggers and be able to be like, okay, I got to stop this. I got to find ways to recompensate as far as substitute that emotion and going through the steps of how to deal with it differently rather than having an outburst. Just giving an example. Okay. And then build on trust with your inner child, okay? So your inner child needs safety and stabilization. Slowly, it has to revisit past traumatic memories. And having the ability to integrate childhood wounds with your adult life by establishing a way to overcome the past and move on, okay? But before I even mention that in detail, once again, according to Sue Mahani, okay, trauma recovery is healing and reparenting your child in a critical and unmissable part, and it can be split into three interwoven phases, as I mentioned before. It could be safety and stabilization, coming to terms with your traumatic memories, and three, integration of moving on. And a good book to read when it comes down to healing from childhood trauma is Transforming the Living Legacy of Trauma by Jana Fisher. Okay, her name is spelled as J-A-N-I-N-A Fisher, F-I-S-H-E-R. Transforming the Living Legacy of Trauma. Okay, that is a good book to read about, and she elaborates more in detail about healing your childhood traumas and what the three phases are all about in detail. Okay, so now that I talked about that, I wanted to talk about discover what your inner child needs are. Once you make that contact, you establish that trust, you know, you want to see if your inner child need to be heard and acknowledged. Do that inner child need reassurance and affection? Do that inner child needs forgiveness or the ability to forgive, you know, and you being able to teach that child, that inner child? Or do you just simply need therapeutic counseling and sessions to bring forth and set free that inner child within yourself? You know, these things are imperative important when going about the quest and journey of reparenting your inner childhood wounds, or just your inner child just in general. And then lastly, provide, parent, and progress, the three P's. Provide the emotional and mental support needed to heal your inner child. Parent your inner child to heal emotional wounds and false beliefs. And progress, according to your ability to revisit past emotional traumatic memories and your way of integrating the past and present by overcoming the events and letting the past go and rest at last. Okay, so with that being said, I hope that you guys enjoyed the show. And before I end out, I do want to suggest some books that I came across that I think that will be helpful when going about your healing journey. Okay, so I did mention the first book of Transforming Living Legacy of Trauma by Jane Fisher. There's also another book that is called The Drama of the Gifted Child by Alice Miller. It talks about the giftedness, like many other atypical brain traits and hereditary, gifted kids who don't get what they need as children growing up into emotionally unhealthy adults. These gifted but emotionally under-equipped adults then have their own children but are unable to give them enough healthy parenting. So this is a book that, this is what it entails, according to Sue Mahoney article. And the book is called The Drama of the Gifted Child by Alice Miller. Another book when it comes down to modeling of parenting is Why Love Matters by Sue Gahartitz. Hope I didn't butcher her last name. But it focuses on the early years and why parent-child bonding is so critical in helping the infant's brain development, and not just their thinking and processing, but the actual structures that build in their brain. Okay, another book that models parenting is Homecoming by John Bradshaw. It's From Infancy to Adulthood, when an overview of what children typically need at different development mental stages and expect information and exercises. Okay, and then another book that's called Polysecure by Jessica Ferns. This provides a great tour of attachment and trauma-informed healing from an adult perspective in the context of relationships, improved relating with oneself as an important component of relating with others. So I guess this is a more actionary kind of book, which is good. It's something to look into. And then another book is Born to Win by James Jogward. He introduces transactional analysis, a three-part model of parent, adult, child that helps you orient which behaviors, thoughts, and feelings are coming from which part of yourself and what to do with them. So this is a good book to invest in, Born to Win by James Jogward. So I really encourage anyone who's on that quest, on that journey to, you know, healing that inner child within yourself. And then last thing is an activity book. It's called Transforming the Living Legacy of Trauma. Okay, and it's more or less about a superly clear, concise, and practical workbook for both self-healing support and therapy session work. So that's something that you want to be able to look into and be able to go about this journey, because your emotional and mental health is so important, especially if you have control and you are able to keep that emotional and mental aspect under control and develop emotional intelligence and maintain the balance between the two by recognizing that your inner child do need that healing and that inner work. So with that being said, thank you for listening to The Memoirs of Her. I hope you guys were able to learn something new on tonight, and you'll enjoy your night. Bye-bye.